Let us begin our worship this 21st Sunday after Pentecost. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us sing our gathering hymn.
It's a new day dawning, it's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship Your holy name.
Let's pray together the prayer of the day. Sovereign God, You turn Your greatness into goodness for all the peoples on earth. Shape us into willing servants of Your kingdom and make us desire always and only Your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Our first lesson today is from Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, beginning at the 4th verse. If you look over at the brightly lit window on the east side, the first one there, you'll see that it's Isaiah. So he's speaking to us today. Surely He has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted Him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the punishment that made us whole, and by His bruises we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and He was afflicted, yet He did not open His mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so He did not open His mouth. By a perversion of justice, He was taken away. Who could have imagined His future? For He was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made His grave with the wicked and His tomb with the rich, although He had done no violence, and there was no deceit in His mouth. Yet it was all the will of the Lord to crush Him with pain. When you make His life an offering for sin, He shall see His offspring, and shall prolong His days. Through Him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of His anguish He shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through His knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for all the transgressions. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson is from Hebrews, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins, as well as for those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God. Just as Aaron was, so also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications, with loud cries and tears, to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord.
Please arise. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, once again you have given your people a beautiful morning to come together as one in the body of Christ, to hear your words, to sing your praises, and to offer up thanks for the many, many blessings that you place in our lives. And as we gather here this morning, Lord, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart will be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One fine Sunday morning, the pastor of a church was getting his congregation all fired up about their future and how great their church was going to be. All worked up, the preacher said, "This church is like a crippled man who needs to get up and walk under the power of Jesus." And the congregation said, "Amen, let it walk, preacher, let it walk." Then the preacher said, "This church is like Elijah on Mount Carmel, and it has to run." And the congregation said, "Oh, let it run, preacher, let it run." Then the preacher said, "This church has got to mount up on eagle's wings and fly to the greatness of heaven." And the congregation said with ever-growing fervor, "Oh, Lord, let it fly, let it fly." Then the preacher said, "Now if this church is going to fly, it's going to take money." To which the congregation said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, there, holy man, there's nothing wrong with the lights. Walk through the woods." Greatness is an amazing thing to have. It can make companies just reach out and try to expand their marketplace. It can make people dream big individually and think companies can think creatively and various other organizations and charities to expand their outreach to those in need. But greatness very rarely comes without a cost. And in our gospel message for today, James and John let it be known how they viewed greatness, and it wasn't exactly in the way that Christ had hoped that they would. Our message for today picks up right after Jesus had gotten through telling his disciples of his impending death and resurrection. And looking on the sunny side of life, I do believe it is admirable that James and John had faith strong enough to believe that our Lord would indeed beat death, rise again, and eventually reclaim his earthly kingdom. However, there were a few flaws in their line of thinking. They were still thinking on earthly terms, not spiritual terms like Christ was talking. First off, they probably were of the mindset that Jesus said he would rise in 3 days and that's when he would establish his earthly kingdom. They were hand-picked disciples, so now no doubt they would have a special place in that kingdom. And just like humans, the closer to Christ they were, the better. The rich and the famous of the world, those considered great and powerful in the eyes of the world, always have a mass of what I call Klingons, those who just want to be close, to get their picture taken, to live the lifestyle nearby the famous person. And so is the case here with James and John. They walked up to Jesus and said, "Lord, we want you to do something for us." And after Jesus asked them what it was, they said, "Let us sit at your right hand and left hand in your glory." Well, I guess I know where their hearts were at that point in time. Let's face it, 3 days wasn't too long to wait, and they wanted to get their reservations in before anybody else. Pure human desire for greatness. And the thing that really jumped out at me in this reading is how James and John really didn't think twice about stepping all over the other 10 disciples while trying to get to the top. It sounds eerily familiar to a common problem prevalent in our world today. King Solomon hit it on the head when he said, "There's nothing new in the world. Greed and desire is still a powerful force in the world today. We see it. We experience it through many human thoughts and actions virtually every day of our lives." Sadly and most egregiously, not only James and John, but we too today still haven't connected the dots on what Christ's life and Christ's actions were all about while he was ministering to people here on earth. We know he's a great man. There's no doubt about that. But we still look at his greatness by our eyes, by our worldly eyes. Greatness in the period in which James, John, and the others lived was found in power and wealth. And it's a sad fact, but to the world today, greatness is still measured in that way. How large of an army does a ruler have to command? How many riches of this world does someone possess? Roman Emperor Servius Sulpicius Galba is reported to have said, "Now that he was emperor, he could do what he liked and do it to anyone that he wanted to." He was only emperor for 1 year, thank goodness, before being assassinated. James, John, and a vast majority of the Jewish people who were following Jesus around had the wrong idea what the term Messiah meant when he talked of greatness. Would it come? What would come with it? And what his kingdom, the kingdom of God, would truly look like? They were of the notion that when our Lord set up his kingdom, Israel would suddenly be rid of those pesky, hated Romans, their occupying army, and the taxes that they took from them. However, they failed to realize that our Lord wasn't there to conquer Romans. He wasn't there to conquer armies of the earth or even human beings. Our Lord came to defeat pain and suffering. Jesus was there to defeat sin and death and to lead people to the kingdom of God through hope and his free and abundant grace. The way to true greatness by our Lord's standards was turning life upside down. His standard was measured by service, by suffering, and by sacrifice. True greatness isn't achieved by social standing, how big our bank accounts may be, or how great we even think we are. It's measured by the lives that we touch with the glory of God working through us. It's measured by humbling ourselves in the sight of our fellow human beings instead of beating our chests and putting on a show. That's what Jesus meant when he asked, "Are you able to drink of the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" Were they ready? Were they ready to take up the mantle of leading the lost to the free grace offered by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Were they ready to be able to humble themselves in the service of others, to drink from the same communal cup of salvation from which he drank? And those aren't easy things to do at times, you have to admit. And they weren't easy things to do back then. But that's what our Lord did. He served others. He ministered to the sick. He reached out to the lowest of society. And he gave hope, something we, as followers of Christ, are called upon to do each and every day of our lives. The old San Francisco quarterback from a long time ago, John Brody, used to be the holder for field goals and extra points. And having your high-dollar star quarterback do that is a very risky thing to do. And when a reporter asked him why he agreed to do it, he said, "Well, if I didn't hold the ball would fall over." Had John run out onto the practice field without his helmet one too many times? No, he saw the big picture. He knew that he had a role to play, even if it meant being the guy who kept the ball from falling over. When we reflect on our spiritual lives, which I hope we all do daily, I hope we ask ourselves, am I able to drink the cup that Christ drank? To serve the poor and needy of this world. To serve with a servant's heart, with no other motive behind the effort. You might be surprised by the answer. Are you serving those in need, or are you simply serving yourself? It's hard to come to the fact that in life, it's not about you. Which leads to the second part of our Lord's question, when he says, "Or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized with." We've all heard the phrase, it must have lost something in the translation. And this saying kind of falls into that auspicious category. The tense of this word in Greek, and thank you to the people at bluebible.org, would better be translated as submerged or fully immersed in what he was immersed in. And Jesus wasn't talking about the baptism that we've all come to know and love with the oil and a splattering of water. What Jesus is asking his disciples is, are you ready to dive in head first with all your heart and go through the things that I have to go through for the cause of those in need? Basically, you and me. How do we see ourselves as followers of Christ? Being the redeemed, do we feel that somehow we're special in this world and it should be our oyster, free to do with whatever we want? We must never forget that God loves all people. And just because we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're still just a face in that crowd, that mass of people that God wants to spend eternity with. Our challenge is to remain fully immersed in that glory of God while we walk amongst the lost and the needy and try to lead them to the salvation that God offers up freely to those who will just reach out and take it. For it all comes down to the last part of the gospel reading when Jesus said, "And to give his life as a ransom for many." That is the greatest service that anyone could ever provide in the world. And that's what our Lord has done for us. He died on the cross, a lowly, beaten, humiliated man. But he rose from the dead with all the glory of God. And we, my fellow members of the body of Christ, can do the very same thing. And to that, I think we can all say, to God be the glory for all that he has done, all that he is doing, and for what he will do in our lives yet to come. Amen. Having been washed clean in our baptisms and claimed by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ upon the cross, it is only right that we should confess our faith. Please arise. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Set free from sin and death and nourished by the word of truth, we join in prayer for all of God's creation. Holy One, for the gift of the church handed down through the ages, and for all who carry on the servant ministry of Jesus, we praise you. Send your Holy Spirit upon all who are discerning calls to ministry in its many forms and equip them with your gift. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creating One, for the lush and abundant habitat you provide for all your creatures, we praise you. Provide healing for the earth so that waterfowl, reptiles, wild horses, dolphins, and all living things flourish as you intend. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Suffering One, for all who work towards peace and who lead nations with a servant's heart, we praise you. Bring justice for all who suffer violence and persecution, discrimination, hunger, poverty, and homelessness, and create places of refuge for all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful One, for all who do the work of healing in mind, body, and spirit, we praise you. Surround and comfort all who struggle with depression, anxiety, cancer, diabetes, dementia, or any illness that may be healed. Lord, we lift up before you this day Chris Weber, Alice Wilson, Maxine Byler, Jack Ike, Robert McFarlane, Paul Schreffler, Janet Bumgardner, Gail Shively, Doris Conrad, Dora McFarlane, Ruth Halpin, Martha Gebhardt, Carol Cutler, Darlene Hall. And Lord, we also raise up before you all those who may be mourning the loss of a loved one. Be with the family of Carl Reinhart and Dave Gunnell and Patty Fote. And dear Lord, we pray that you will lay your hand of blessing upon Jean Reinhardt as she not only lost her husband Carl, but is now in hospice. Lord, grant these people and all those that we may name now, either aloud or in the privacy of your heart, the peace and the comfort and the healing that you can provide. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer, sustaining one, for all who volunteer for the vitality of this congregation, we praise you. Strengthen and encourage greeters, ushers, office volunteers, bakers, counters, committee and group leaders, teachers, students, evangelists, singers, builders, nurturers, and all who serve with generous hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Risen One, we thank you for those who have shaped your church and shared your gospel. Through the witness of your saints, continue to inspire us with hope until we all gather at your eternal feast. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Confident that you hear us, O God, we boldly place our prayers into your hands through Jesus Christ, our truth and life. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Christ, the light of the world, we go from here filled with your love and with the knowledge that you will be with us in all that we do in the week to come. Send us into your world, O God, inspired, excited, and filled with a sense of love and hope that will carry us through all we do for your creation. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go into the world with hope to make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Saved. He's a savior.